our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've written on the board, post-monarch. We're kind of post-monarch now, aren't we? Sunday after monarch. Have you gotten back to life? You set aside a number of days to just sing and pray and listen to preaching and visit, be around friends, and that's good, but all good things must come to an end. And I will say I am someone that I think it's good for monarch to come to an end. The Lord wants us to live life. He didn't want us to close in the walls and stay in Saintsville, but He wanted us to get out in the world and live life and do the work of the Lord. And that goes beyond monarch. But I also realize when we come home from monarch that, I believe I mentioned Wednesday night maybe, the devil, you will find the reality of the enemy as well. It seems like the devil fights extra hard sometimes after monarch and after a meeting. I want to look into the Word of God this morning a little bit and deal and consider how the Lord has dealt with you in the last couple of weeks. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but I trust all of us got something from the meeting. The thing about monarch is, consider that there are 28 messages preached, plus young people's meeting for the young people, plus children's meeting. There's a lot of stuff that you all heard. There's a lot of things that could hurt. As opposed to coming to services here in the local congregation, what you might hear two messages a week. But you've just been somewhere that if you were in every service, you heard 28. Most people didn't hear all that, but you reduce that some, but you heard a lot of messages in a short amount of time, whereas it would take months and months to cover that much ground in our local congregation. And so I trust that all of us left Monarch with something that the Lord talked to us about. We won't remember every message right now. We won't even remember everything the Lord kind of talked to us about. But I would that we all go away from Monarch with something that I can do something about. So again, I ask us, is there something the Lord showed you while you were at Monarch? Maybe a place that the Lord wanted you to do a little bit better. Maybe the Lord had a job for you that through the course of the meeting that God talked to your heart and He showed you this is what I want you to do. Maybe it was a consecration that the Lord called for. Maybe you went to the altar, maybe you prayed from your seat. But something the Lord called for a consecration for something in your life. Something you realize that maybe you are holding on to a little bit too much, and the Lord said, I want you to commit that to me. Well, I'd like us to begin over in Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading with the first verse. Said and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. I want to qualify this scripture reading this morning that there's a lot involved here that we're not dealing with, but there's one aspect that I would like us to get hold of. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Want us to get hold of just this one phrase here. He was speaking to a fallen church in essence, but want us to take where he said, remember how thou hast received and heard. Remember, bring to mind. Recall what you have received, what God gave to you, and remember what you've heard. Now it's easy to leave a meeting and you had maybe some blessings there, but now I'm back to life, now I'm back to work, now I'm back to school, now I'm back to the same people. See, when you're at camp meeting, you're around a little different crowd, but now you go home, same husband, same wife, same parents, same children, same pastor, same congregations, and you're back to life. So he said, remember the things that I gave to you. Don't let them slip, but remember what I gave. Remember the commitments that you made to God. Remember the things the Lord showed you that He wanted you to move up, because it's so easy for us, because we're human, to let things slip. It's very easy to let things slip. New Year's resolutions, and it's been a while since I've looked at the statistics, but do you know most New Year's resolutions that people make, they stop following through on that after, what is it, a week or two? The largest percent, in other words, they're inspired, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to read my Bible more, or I'm going to do that. Most people within a couple of weeks are back to their old habits. Sound familiar? Remember a message a month or two ago on habits? Back to my old habits. But the Lord wants us to move and to grow in Him, which means we need to remember what we have heard and what we have received. So here's a challenge for us. I wrote on the board, have a plan. Do you know that growth never happens without a plan? Work never gets done by just standing there looking at it. So I can sit back and say, yes, the Lord visited me, but if I stay on the couch with my arms folded, there's not going to be any growth. I can look out at the yard and say, yes, the yard needs to be mowed. And every time I walk by it, look at it and say, oh, wow, look at how it's growing. But do you know it's not going to get mowed unless I do something about it? Spiritually this morning, it is the faithfulness of God when He deals with us. That was His love. It's His love when He draws and when He calls us to a deeper consecration. That's the love of God. But I want to encourage us this morning to get a plan. What did God talk to you about? Again, you don't have to answer me, but get it in your mind, in your heart this morning. You know what's helpful to write it down sometimes? Get a piece of paper and write down what the Lord told you. Put it in your Bible. And every time you open your Bible, you're going to see that piece of paper, and it was the commitment that you made. It was something the Lord talked to you about, that He wanted some growth, that He wanted you to do a little bit better, or maybe something He wanted you to give up. Write it down if it would help so you don't forget. But I want to encourage us this morning to have a plan, because it's easy to go to Monarch and say, yes, the Lord met with us. I got a lot of good. What good did you get? Well, I got a lot of good. What good did you get? You understand? It's easy to begin to generalize the blessings of God. It's easy to begin to just generalize, yes, the Lord talked to me. Specifically, what did the Lord talk to you about? What did the Lord reveal to you? What did the Lord call for in your life? Well, I want to draw closer to God. How are you going to draw closer to God? Do you know the Lord deals with specifics? The Lord has a way of dealing very specifically with things in our life. It's helpful to write it down, saints. See, we're talking post-monarch now. How are we going to grow? Have a plan. Because we can look at things. I think about how David, he wanted to build the temple. Remember? And the Lord gave that job to Solomon, but David did everything in his power to get the plan from God and to get the supplies that were ready. And so he worked to provide, to have a plan and something in place that I could be successful to follow through on what God wants me to do. Folks, there's a lot of people that have a lot of big ambitions in life. But unless we have a plan, savings, how many people, you young people, how many of y'all want to, since we didn't get to it in Sunday school, I'll get to it now just for a moment. How many of y'all want to have some money put back for when you get into old age? I say, I think that's a good goal, that's a good plan to have. But do you know that it's going to take a plan and it's going to take following through with it to have some money put aside for to take care of you when you're old and can't work? You have to start when you're young. You have to start with just the $10 here and the $100 there, but put it away, and through time and compound interest, when you get older, that money's going to be a lot more than what you put in when you're young. Spiritually, it's the same way. We can say, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. My question is, what is Your plan? People say, yes, I want to have money when I get old. What is Your plan? Well, I don't really have one. Well, I have news for you. You're not going to have money laid aside when you're old unless you've got a plan and you follow through with it. Spiritually, saints, we need to have a plan for the things that we've heard. For the things that God talks to us about, we need to have a plan. Over in James in the first chapter, Scripture talks about those that He said to be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Deceiving your own self. Remember? The Lord wants us to be doers of the word. So now we've gone to Monarch and we've heard. The Lord's talked to us. The Lord showed us some things. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? Say, well, I'm not sure. As long as you're not sure what you're going to do with it, I'll tell you what you're going to do with it. Nothing. I mean, that's just where we live, isn't it? Because we're human. And I know that because that's how it is for me. We have to have a plan. Lord, you showed me a need in my life. I need a plan now to proceed that I can get some victories where I didn't have victory before. I need to have a plan in place that where I wasn't reading my Bible like I should have, I've got a plan now. I've got a plan that where this person has been a real problem in my life, I've got a plan now to know how to deal with it. I've got a plan. Folks, things don't change without a plan, but it's not enough to hear. The Lord wants doers. So what are we going to do? We need to have a plan in place. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Verse 25 of James 1 says, "Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Those that are doers of the work. So I ask us again this morning, please don't get tired. This is home preaching. This is just home cooked food. What are we going to do with what the Lord has talked to us about? Say, I'm not sure. It's going to be the same way next month. And 2 months from now, you're going to be in the same place that you are if you don't get a plan. So the Lord called for something in my life. What have you done with it? What changes have you made? I don't want to look in the perfect law of liberty. It's talking about like looking in a mirror. We look at ourselves and behold what manner of man we are. Let's not forget, but let's remember. So part of it is writing it down. The Lord has a purpose for each one of us this morning. God has a plan for your life. And we are on a journey. And if you all remember anything from the last few years, we proceed in our journey, and on this journey with God, step by step and little by little. Is that right? We don't all have spiritual pogo sticks. It's one step at a time. You know, sometimes people are just jumping and bouncing. Well, that's all right, but most of us are only going to get from point A to point B step by step. And little by little. So don't be discouraged by the little this morning, but be sure you have a little. Be sure you've got a plan, because if I say that's where the Lord wants me, the question is, how are you going to get there? So I'd like us to consider a few of those things this morning. The Lord is going to be with us, and He's going to be faithful, but He wants us to remember His dealings in our life. There are people I know today, and I think probably all of us have areas in our life that we've been there before, that we've been in places that the Lord has dealt with us about something, and we knew it was the Lord, and then just through weeks and months that pretty soon we're back to doing what we were, and we don't feel any prick of the Spirit anymore. Well, it's like, well, I'm okay, it's all right. But do you remember when the Lord dealt with your heart? Do you remember when the Lord really came in, and it wasn't just what the preacher preached against it, but you remember the Spirit of the Lord in a very personal way said, you know what, this is right. I want to change. This is what I'm calling for in your life. And in your heart, you're like, yes, Lord, I understand. But what about a month later? Just back to old habits, living like I was. I don't feel bad about it. Well, you know what? I don't know if I really need to do that. Has anybody done that besides me? Has the Lord ever really shown you something and you are zealous, Lord, I know it was you. And then a month or two later, it's like, you know, I probably really don't need to do that. It's probably okay. I'm talking about myself now. Has anybody else been guilty of doing that before? Sister Tan, both of us? Do you know that that's human of us? Be careful. We need to be careful, folks, because there are times that the water is troubled and the Spirit moves by and He deals with us, but we need to do something about it. And it's not just one trip to the altar. The altar is a place to come and seek the Lord. And I will say for the benefit of the children and young people again this morning, just because someone comes to the altar doesn't mean they're not saved. It's just a place to come talk to God. So if the Lord talks to you about something, then let's be free to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it. But the trip to the altar is a starting place. But we've got a lot of living to do after the trip to the altar, don't we? Which means I made a consecration, but guess what? Monday morning I'm facing the same things. Where's my consecration then? So I need to have a plan. I'm not going to forget, I'm not going to minimize the dealings that the Lord made in my life. Those are valuable times, young people, for all of us. When the Lord talks to you, value it, treasure it, and don't minimize it down the road. And say, well, yeah, the Lord talked to me about listening to that kind of music, but you know what? It's not that bad. Did the Lord talk to you or didn't He? If the Lord talked to you, then let's not minimize how He dealt with us. Let's have a plan. We won't take the time to read it, but over in the 14th chapter of Luke, the Scripture speaks about a man that intends to build a tower must first sit down and do what? Count the cost. In other words, I'd like to have a new house. Anybody else want a new house? Yeah, it sounds good to me. I'd like a bigger laundry room. I'd like there to be some things changed. I'd like some improvements, and now, there's some things I could plan a little bit differently. But you know, before you just pull out your hammer and nails, before you start pick up the phone and call the guys to come do the dirt work and pour the foundation, get the framers lined up, you better sit down with a pen and paper. And you better get some estimates and count the cost. And then add on to it about 25%. Is that right? Maybe even more than that sometimes. In other words, you have to have a plan, but it's foolish for people to build a tower and just start doing it without a plan in place. Now in Kenya, and Lord help us in our building plans for Monarch. In Kenya, we don't have all the money to build the rest of the school. But you know what? I know about how much it's going to cost. We've got a plan, and we had money for the foundation. So I told them, get digging. We'll go as far as we can and build on faith. But spiritually speaking, do you have a plan? Do you know it's not wise to just make arbitrary commitments to the Lord? Count the cost. What are you really willing to give this thing to the Lord? I don't know what your thing is. But when the Lord dealt with us, are we really willing to make that consecration? Or is it just when we're in monarch mode? You know, the Spirit's moving, singing, and pray all of it just around other people that love the Lord. It's easy to make a consecration. It's easier, let me put it that way. But you come home and all of a sudden we can start minimizing our consecrations unless we sit down and start counting the cost. Young people, I want to challenge you with something this morning. Are you really willing to follow through on the commitments you made to the Lord at Monarch? Or is it just a Monarch commitment? The Lord wants it for all of us to be more than a Monarch commitment. But we need to count the cost. And there is a cost to making commitments to the Lord. It means I'm going to have to let some things go. I committed something to Him. Or I took, God gave me something to do, and I'm saying, yes, Lord. But folks, we need to count the cost. And one of the reasons people fall back from their commitment so often is because they haven't really counted the cost. Yes, it sounds good. I want a new house. But wait, did you count the cost? Are you willing to pay the price? This morning, we need to count the cost, and we need to get a plan. You see, change is difficult, and growth only comes through pain, doesn't it? You know, that's why when you go out and exercise, if you don't get to a point where it hurts, you're not going to grow a whole lot. But muscle is built when you experience the burn. You know what I'm talking about? When you get the pain, that means something's... You tear up the muscles that are there, and then as they regrow back, they get bigger. But that only comes from exercise. Serving the Lord is the same way. our commitments to the Lord, our consecrations, we need to have a plan in place that, Lord, this is how I'm going to pursue growing in you. And it's going to take a sacrifice of some things in our life. The scripture says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I want us to be encouraged this morning to know that the Lord is in the middle of your commitments. There are commitments that we make to the Lord. I can't follow through on it by myself. But the scripture says here that the Lord, which hath begun a good work. Has the Lord begun a good work in your life? If the Lord has been talking to you about anything in your life, that's a work He's wanting to do. The Lord is not going to leave you hanging. In other words, He's not going to leave you by yourself, but He's going to be there to stand beside you to enable you to follow through on the things that He's wanting to do in your life. So we can trust in the Lord. We sang the song, The Faithfulness of God. So with that faithfulness in mind, my question is this, do you have a plan? If you don't, do not expect much change to take place in your life. These are just honest facts. Don't expect the consecrations. Don't expect the prayers in your seats at Monarch. Don't expect the trip to the altar to all of a sudden change all the circumstances in your life. Doesn't happen that way. That's a beginning. The trip to the altar is getting equipped to live life. The trip to the altar is getting the courage and the grace and the strength and the forgiveness and the Spirit of the Lord to enable me to go and grow in the Lord. But I'm going to have a plan. And we're going to have purpose of heart, because, you know, there are some people that are really good about starting projects. It's their personality. You want an idea, they have all these ideas and they'll start something, and everybody that knows them is like, just give them a month. In other words, they've got a good idea, but they don't follow through. The Lord is looking for a people this morning that have purpose of heart, that we're going to follow through on our commitments and on our consecrations. So I want to go through a few things very briefly this morning. Reading and praying, and I know I touched on it when I talked about habits. But do you know, if you struggle with reading and praying, do you have a plan and the Lord talked to you and you know you need to do better? And you say, okay, I'm going to do better. My question to us this morning is, how are you going to do better? Well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do better. Do you realize most likely you won't do better for very long? You're going to end up reading and praying about like what you've been doing. Unless you have a plan. Get a plan. What are you going to do? Okay. This is what I'm going to do. This is, folks, this is part of the discipline of the Christian life. God does His work. God has His part, but we also have a part to play. And this is where it gets in our own personal lives, that I'm going to have a plan that maybe for you, and again, a devotional book is not the Word of God. But for people that struggle with taking time with the Lord, I think it's a baby step in the right direction. It's a good step. It's a good step because there's a scripture there. Read the scripture and read some thoughts. If you struggle understanding the Bible when you read it, get a good devotional. Be careful which one you get. I can give you a couple suggestions. If you want them, come ask us. But there's a couple of really good devotional books that it has a scripture and it has just a little commentary. It doesn't take long. But if you haven't been reading in the morning and you haven't been praying in the morning, then the plan could be, I'm going to get a devotional. This is my plan. And every morning, I'm going to take my 5 minutes. Say, 5 minutes, Brother Michael? It should be longer than that. No, we want growth now, right? 5 minutes with God is a whole lot better than nothing. You see? And then find a time in your day that you can have more time to study. Maybe that's the evening. The Bible doesn't say it has to be at 7 o'clock in the evening or at 3 o'clock in the morning to get up and pray. It doesn't do that. But what it teaches us is study the Word of God. Take time with the Lord. So find a time that's good for you. But if you haven't been doing it, how are you going to change? Get a plan. Get a plan. And one of the children came to me the other day. I asked him, I said, y'all had worship this morning? And our family worship is in the evening time, and we want to help them have the time in the morning to have their personal devotions. One of the children said, I didn't do it this morning. And I said, that's okay. I said, go do it now. In other words, don't feel guilty. Don't let the devil beat you up because you didn't read and pray. But when it comes to your mind, then say, my plan is when I forget and the Lord brings it to my mind, Lord, I'm going to take a little time right now. I'm going to go ask for your grace and your strength and pray for my needs. Have a plan. What about church attendance? Do you know sometimes I wonder, and we're not putting up, I know in Sunday school sometimes you get a star for every Sunday school you show up at. Y'all remember those days? I think sometimes people would be surprised if they were to put a piece of paper in their Bible and write down how many services they attend. At the end of the month, this is just for you personally now, for me personally, but at the end of the month, you get a little star on your little calendar that you carry in your Bible and see how much you've really been to service. There have been times I think people would be really surprised at how much or how little they've been there. Okay, so what's the plan? If it's been a struggle to make it, we have to have a plan as what is it that's been hindering me? Because usually there's a hindrance, isn't there? So then to have a plan, we say, what is it that's hindering? What is more important? This thing that's been hindering me or to be in service? So what can I do to facilitate getting to service? We need to have a plan then. That means it's not just, well, I'm going to try to do better. That's too general. Do you know what I'm talking about? It becomes too general. So we need to talk with our husband, talk with our wife, talk with our children, and let's say, if whatever the problem has been, let's get a plan. If maybe I haven't been there at all, then Lord, my plan is on Sunday mornings. That's priority. Maybe I'm not being there Wednesday night and Sunday afternoon, but by God's grace, I'm going to lay everything else aside to be there Sunday morning. You know, that's growth. That's growth. That takes spiritual discipline. And you know what's going to happen when you're faithful to do that? Somewhere along the line, the Lord's going to come and say, you know what? There's a Sunday afternoon service. You know, there's a Wednesday night service. And we can say, Lord, I can do that too. But it starts step by step. Have a plan in place. Family time. Do you know that we are all so busy? Sometimes we come to those places, we realize we're not spending enough time with the family. Say, well, we'll try to do that. How often does that work? We'll try. Do you know what helps to have a plan? The Mormons do it, and I'm not advocating Mormonism at all. Is it Tuesday or Thursday night? It's family night. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We get so busy that just like we set aside time for the Lord specifically on our services, that's why we set aside a specific time to be sure it happens. Family time is the same way. Husbands and wives, maybe there's not enough time, alone time, just to get to be together, to reconnect and stay connected. Then have a plan. It won't happen by itself. But you know what? On Tuesday night of next week, once a month or twice a month on Tuesday night, let's call it husband and wife night. Let's call it date night. Let's have family night. But we're going to set aside a time that we're going to accomplish a goal. Have a plan. What about giving? Do you know giving does not happen by itself? Giving to the Lord comes with a plan. Lord, when the money comes in, the money's going to go right back to you. That's a plan. But if we just arbitrarily wait for divine inspiration or wait till I have extra, how often do we have extra? Not very often, right? Which means in part of our obedience to the Lord, have a plan. What is your savings plan? Well, I don't have one. That tells me something about your savings. What is your giving plan? I don't have one. It tells me something about our giving. So how do I grow? How do I become more obedient to the Lord? Get a plan. Consecration. Do you have a plan? In the book of Leviticus, the scripture says, sanctify yourselves. Now we usually talk about the Lord sanctifying us, but you know there's a place that God wants us to sanctify ourselves. In other words, Jesus told us, if your hand offend you, do what? Cut it off. Do you have a plan this morning? If you know something is spiritually unhealthy in your life, and you think, well, I'll just kind of see how it goes. I know how it's going to go. You're going to be doing it next month and next year. Unless you have a plan. You know what? This thing is spiritually unhealthy for me. The Lord showed me that. So what's your plan? I'm going to cut it off. When are you going to cut it off? Well, now that's real where we start getting uncomfortable, because I kind of like maybe to do it sometime, but I want to be so committed that... Y'all know what I'm saying? What's your plan? What's your plan? Consecration to sanctify yourself. Do you know that means then that if there are things that are spiritually unhealthy, if you have friends and companions that you're with that are not, that always pull you down spiritually, do you have a plan to deal with that? I've got two suggestions for you. One of them is don't be around those kind of people that pull you down spiritually unless you are around other well-rounded spiritual adults. If we can do things together with mom and dad, then we can do that, and I know I'm still going to have that good, strong influence. But if someone has been a negative spiritual influence on you, there's going to come a place you just need to have a plan and say, you know what, I can't go places with them. Every time I do, we get in trouble. Every time we do, it draws me back to doing the things the Lord doesn't want me to do. So what's your plan? We say, Lord, I want to follow through on my consecration. Have a plan, folks. Let's have a plan. What about the music we listen to? Do you know music is such a struggle for young people? And if you young people think that we old people don't understand, we do understand, okay? So if you ever feel like we just don't know what we're talking about and it's just so easy for us, I'd like to tell you we fought some of the same battles that you're fighting right now. So don't feel like we're immune to that. But we have to have a plan. There are some lines that we have to draw in the sand and say, well, I'm going to try not to listen to it as much. I don't want to burst any bubbles this morning, but I'll just tell you, it's not going to work. Adults, am I right? I'm going to try to cut back. What are we feeding on? The music, the movies, the videos, the stuff that is promoting things. You can even pull up Walt Disney movies. Folks, there is a theme and a point a lot of those things are making, and on the surface, they look harmless. So what's your plan? We're going to try to cut back. Well, there are some things that we do just need to cut back. Temperance, balance. There are other things we need to recognize, and for what it is, we need to have a plan and cut it out of our life. So what's your plan this morning? Marriage. I'm going to be done shortly. Marriage. You know, there are sometimes there are communication problems in marriage. So what's your plan? Well, I'll try to communicate better. Well, how's that been working after so many years? You understand what I'm saying? So what's your plan? Do you have a plan? One suggestion is, you know, sometimes, and I found this in counseling as well with people, sometimes people kind of look at me like, think I don't want to waste my time with them. But I found that after so much time of counseling, it's best to say, okay, we need to call it quits here, and it's better to have another meeting another day. But after you go on for so long, it's overkill or too much information. Same way with preaching, isn't it? Sometimes. Give me a few more minutes with that said. But there's times that it's best to just stop and pick it up the next time. So in communication, do you notice when there's a problem, if things get a little bit impatient or you're not understanding each other and you say something and they say something and pretty soon you realize it's really not profiting anything, what's your plan to deal with that? Here's a plan. Try it. Okay, seems like there's been a difficulty in communicating. So at the end of the day, before we go to bed, let's set aside a time and we both have 5 minutes. I talk. You listen. There's another 5 minutes, too. I want to talk last, though, if we're going to do that. But you understand what I'm saying. You've got a plan in place. In other words, just share what you're thinking, and the other spouse just listens. Really try to understand, and then the other person has 5 minutes to talk. At the end of the 5 minutes, it's over. It's over. Just stop. No more talking about it. Even if you don't understand each other, just stop and pick it up the next day. You've got a plan. You've got something in place to try to start listening better than maybe what you have. That's just one suggestion. But have a plan. People problems. Anybody have any people problems? Do you have a plan in place? Number one, we know the scripture teaches us to love, to forgive, to commit. Is there something we can do? I came across in my journal yesterday, I was getting ready for Africa, came across a journal where I had written a plan down concerning a situation. And I looked at it and I thought, you know what? That plan is still right. You can't change anybody else, but you can forgive. And some things you just have to commit to the Lord or it'll steal your peace. It's like, Lord, there's nothing, I can't do anything until the Lord changes their heart. And so, Lord, I commit this to you and be as a prodigal son's father who is there waiting for when the Lord changes situation that you're there with your arms open. But have a plan in place. Have a plan. Brother Cook mentioned Wednesday night about making vows. You know, we need to be careful about making vows to the Lord. But do you know that while we need to be careful about making vows to the Lord, vows are important? And I wonder, why are we so scared about making a vow to the Lord? I think we all know the answer. If I make a vow to the Lord, I'm kind of committed. And I'd like to leave the back door open so I can just say, well, I'm going to work on it. But if I make a vow to the Lord, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to have to do it. Are we willing to follow through on our consecrations or not? There's a place to make some vows. There is a place with what the Lord has dealt with. You know, it's helpful to have some accountability sometimes. I'm not saying get up and tell everybody what the Lord talked to you about, but you know there is value this morning, and part of your plan is sharing with someone. The Lord talked to me about this, and I need to give this up, or I need to do this, and share it with someone. And the next time you see him and you walk around because you're afraid they're going to ask you how it's going, have you all been there? You're afraid they're going to say, oh, how's it going? The Lord told you not to do that. It's like, I don't want to tell anybody so I'm not accountable. So if I fall back, no one's going to know that I was kind of wishy-washy. Accountability. I want to have a plan in place because, Lord, I really want to do better. So I want to share for someone to pray with me. And if I fail, I'm going to tell them that, but that they can be a help to me. And then I would just say, take a checkup. In a month, you've been working on this, you've got a plan, come in for a checkup. Sit down and recount the costs and say, this is what the Lord told me. Now it's a month after Monarch, how am I doing? Well, I'm kind of back to my old habits. Get a plan. And the Lord will be with you this morning. I appreciate your time. I want us to be successful. But I want us to see permanent change step by step and little by little. Maybe we could stand and have one verse of a song.